Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Good evening, everybody. My name is Adedayo Babalola, and tonight we are going into a teaching that we have tied to tonight, Letter to My Son David. I want to encourage everybody to ensure that they share this with somebody. It will be a wonderful one, very instructive for us tonight. And we will just get into it and we will pray. Amen. Father, we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We are edified and your name is glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. Ensure you share this with somebody. Right, I've done the same as well. We are going into this teaching that we have called Letter to My Daughter, Letter to My Son David. Hallelujah. And this is part 4. And we are looking at the subtitle, Don't Be This Type of Man. I will say it again. Do not be this type of man. And so we're going to be looking at the Bible and the types of men in the Bible, because the Bible is actually very instructive of about or how we should be and how we should not be. Right, very important. So we start off with our theme scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's power is mightily with us today. Look at 1 Timothy 3 verse 15. Right? Let me read from verse 14. These things I write unto you, hoping to come to you shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Again, I like to emphasize this. The new man in Christ, the man that is blood washed, the man that is sanctified, the man that is a new creation, the man must be taught and instructed on how to behave himself. So please write this down. Number one, behavior is crucial and important in our kingdom. There is the how that we behave. There is the how that we behave as believers. It is crucial that we understand this. And this instruction is coming from the Lord. Meaning the Lord is saying that because you're a believer, does not give you the leeway to act anyhow. There is how that we behave, which is meant to be a core trait in all believers. He says, I write to you. So a believer must be, he's told how to behave, meaning the believer is instructed. Meaning the believer's success is based on the instructions that he follows. Because if he doesn't follow instructions, he will not know how to behave. Let me say it better. He will not know how to follow God's plan. He will not know how to fulfill God's purpose. So this is very important. The how to behave is crucial. Because it's important to know that the fact that God has ordained a man to do something does not mean that that man will end up fulfilling God's plan and God's purpose. The Bible is filled with men and women who did fulfill and did not fulfill God's plan and God's purpose because of they did not either know how to behave or much more did not follow the instructions on how that they ought to behave. Amen. This is very important. So, for example, just off my head, I could tell you the scripture says to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1. I want you to be there. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1. Verse 1. You're a Bible believer. I hope you with your Bible and you with your notepad. You were learning today. We are learning how to behave. The modus operandi. Right? That's what all this series is about. Of the believer. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 1, it says, let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards, meaning managers, of the mysteries of God. Moreover, It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So the point is, there is a behavioral trait that must be found in every believer, and that is faithfulness. Now, that is just an example. When we find a believer not faithful, we find a man that no matter how he does it, he cannot fulfill God's will, God's plan, and God's purpose. The point is, it is not an election. An elective. This one is required. It is the word called faithfulness, where which whatever is given to you, you do it to the best that you can. Faithfulness, it's very important. Faithfulness. In fact, you know, there's something that the Lord spoke to me. You can receive it or you don't receive it. And said, the quality of a church, write it down. The quality of a church is really down to the quality or the number of faithful men that they have. The more faithful men a ministry has, the better the ministry is in fulfilling God's will and God's purpose. So when we talk about even local church, right, God says that it's actually down to faithful men. Very important. Faithful men. In fact, the quality of a local church, I'm going to say it again, is down to the quality of the faithful men in that local church. Meaning whatsoever that is given to you, you do it with all that you've got. Now, let's look at another what the Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. Right? And then I'm going to ask you a very honest question. You have to answer yourself with your own conscience. Look at 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. He says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men. Who does the mean is the minister instructed to spend time with? Faithful men. Faithful men reproduce. Why? Faithful men, they take what it is that is taught them and they send and teach other people. Right? He says, a faithful man, right? He says, and this thing that I have committed to you, that you have heard of me, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. So, one of the things about a faithful man spiritually, apart from doing whatever it is they tell you to do with all your mind, with all your heart, is a character trait. So, when they give you the word of God, you would also find someone to serve the word of God. That's the point. So, every faithful man, right, in our kingdom is a teacher. They will hear what they are being taught. They will take notes, you right, and they would actually teach other people. I find it strange when I don't find people with the discipline of taking notes. A little note is better than the best memory. So learn to take notes. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It says to us, right, that we are required to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 1 and 2. Then he says to us in 2 Timothy 2 verse 2 that the man that is faithful is the man that you should commit the word to. Meaning, if you commit the word of God to a man that is not faithful, he will not take it to others. That's what it is. That's why the Lord told me, and it makes sense. Anyway, the Lord told me the quality of a local church is the quality of the faithful men in there. Praise the Lord. And now, I want to say something to you. Take a test. Examine yourself. Ask yourself the question, you new creation, spirit-filled, born again, born of the word. Are you faithful? Are you a faithful man? Look at the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, people think, right, we cannot ask ourselves these kind of questions. You take a test. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'll read verse 5. I'll read it in the KJV, then I would read it in the Message version. You can even go and wait for me in the Message version, because it's quite interesting. Look at 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves, meaning give yourself an exam. It says, whether you are in the faith, prove to your own selves. Are you getting what he's saying? Are you in the faith? I mean, are you practicing the things that pertains to the faith? Take the exam. Let me show you. Look at the book of that same book. We are going to look at 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 in the Message version. This way, it says, test yourself. Get into the exam hall. Test yourself. That's verse 5. Make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Yeah. Give yourself regular checkups. You need first-hand evidence, not mere say. Test it out. You know, this is the Bible. This is the New Testament. Do an exam on yourself. Examine yourself. Right? Are you faithful? Examine yourself. Are you a man given to service? Or let us start with faithfulness. Are you a man that is faithful? Whatever is given to you, do you do it on time? Or do you do it based on who is looking at you? Are you faithful with the little that God gives, puts in your hands? Are you faithful with the instructions given to you from the Word of God? Are you faithful in your local church? Are you faithful in service? Are you faithful in prayer? Do you have a schedule for prayer? Do you have a schedule for Bible study? Do the test. Don't live by what you do. The test. Are you faithful with your giving? Are you faithful with your kingdom promotion? Are you faithful with evangelism? Don't let anybody fool you. If you are listening to me and you are in the UK, people think, or you are in Europe, people think demonic forces are not in this country. These countries are the countries with heavy concentration of demonic forces because they deal with the slant of the heart. In this nation, the gospel seems to be rejected in many quarters. And so there is the hardness of the heart and there is a coldness, a tendency not to actually rate God or rate the things of God or take the things of God seriously. You see somebody is late and is strolling into the church. You see somebody has not prayed for 4 days and he doesn't feel there's a problem. Right? It is the nature and the stratosphere. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's the stratosphere in which we're in. It looks like it's okay. He's not read the Word of God in a week. Right? And the Word of God is the spiritual food for his soul. Right? Do you have a schedule for these things? So you don't say, oh, I don't even know what's going on in my life. I don't know why. Why this is happening? Bro, take the test. Even your car, you take it for MOT. Take the test, right? How are you doing with covetousness? Are you into the things of the kingdom, right? Take the test. You know, these are honest conversations that if we are in a, you know, it's not political correctness, every minister should be able to tell his congregation, everybody, bring out a notepad. We are doing a test. Rate yourself. Based on faithfulness, are you faithful? How many times have you been in church? How many times have you been in Bible study? Things don't just happen. How many times have you been giving yourself to prayer? How is your giving lifestyle? Do you give to the local church? Do you give to saints that I need? These are questions you should be able to answer. Are you there to help other people? Do you serve the things of the Spirit? When last did you go out for evangelism? You need to ask yourself these questions. Listen, backsliding does not just start one day when you just say that you are not going to. No, it is not. It is from not being on fire. Take the test. Be honest with yourself. This is not a condemnation mission. If you think it's condemning, we are not condemning you. We are just trying to help you know that something's happening. Because if you're already getting angry when I'm talking, something's already happening to you. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that he that the Father loveth, he chastises and corrects. The lackadaisicalness should stop. There must be passion with this gospel. We are trading a gospel that is bloody. Somebody died and came out of the grave. It is not a joke. It's not what you play with. The souls of men and your life, it is important. My point, take a test. Examine yourself. A lot of people are backsliding that they don't know, right? You see, until you do MOT, you may not know that a part of your car is not working. Take the test on these baselines. Take the test on service. Take the test on prayer. Take the test on devotion. Take the test on giving. The local church, on giving to the saints, on giving to those in need, on giving to peer. Take the test. Don't just imagine say that. No. Don't say I'm under grace. Take the test. What are you doing? On prayer, take the test. Amen. Praise God. Take the test on evangelism. Take the test on intentionally spreading the gospel. Have you put some time to ensuring you're spreading the gospel through the many channels and the many things that you... What are you doing? Take the test. If you don't take the test, you will not know how far you are going. Amen. A life that is evaluated is a life that is of value. The life that you value, you evaluate. Amen. Praise the Lord. Like, you know, I spent my introduction telling you to examine yourself on basic things like faithfulness. Let me get into my teaching now. Right. Praise God. Hallelujah. I hope you take the test. I hope you follow the instruction. I hope you see this as God trying to call your attention to things. Take the test, brother. Don't waste your life. Take the test. Amen. Because until you know, you will not be able to take appropriate measures. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. And now we're looking into the book of Jude. Right. And in Jude, we're going to look at chapter 1. Jude. It's just got one chapter. Right. We're going to be looking at chapter 1, verse 3. It says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation. So Jude wanted to write about new creation realities. You know what new creation realities are? You are born again. You are bought with a price. You are crucified. You are sanctified. You are glorified. He said, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. He says, for there are certain men that crept in unawares. Note it in your Bible. Certain men. What is this teaching? Don't be like this type of man. So I just got into my teaching 30 seconds ago. Right? The other one was just prologue. Amen. Praise God. That you should take importantly. Right? He says, for there are certain men who crept in unawares, who were before old ordained to condemnation. What was the issue? He says they are ungodly men. What were they doing? They were turning the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ into lasciviousness. These are the kind of people who say things like, you know what? I am under grace. God has done all the work. I don't need to do anything. I am under grace. I can do anything I like. I am under grace. The life is mine. I am under grace. No discipline. You know, a lot of people, I realize that if you check people that actually always talk this, I am under grace, no discipline. And I don't really pray. Christ has prayed it all. Right? I can do what I like. I can sleep with 13 ladies. All my sins are forgiven. That's not the gospel. The Bible says you are taking the grace of God for lasciviousness. And interestingly, in the days of Jude, men were propagating this truth, which is not the truth. They're saying that, you know what? So anybody, when you start hearing I'm under grace, I don't. Watch out. Watch out. It's a dangerous statement. Right? Because the grace of God was not for lasciviousness. The grace of God was given so that you can now labor. I've said it many, many times. So there are certain men who turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. So the grace of God was not a calling so that you will live anyhow. You will not be accountable. You know, you will not be accountable. You just live anyhow, do anyhow. Right? Because you say, God, nobody is going to do anything to me. It's not true. It's not true, bro. It's not true. We are going to learn from this now, right? It is the fact that you are bringing leanness to your soul. You are not going to be able to fulfill God's plan and God's purpose for your life. That's greater than, bigger than any punishment that any man can punish now. If only you knew. So it is a loose statement, a loose life that says, I'm under grace, I can live anyhow. And doesn't take things seriously. Amen. Praise God. Amen. All right. He says, certain men. Who are these kind of men? Look at verse 11. He says, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. So the first man that he tells us about is the man Cain. So we're going to be investigating Cain. Let's look at Romans chapter 15 verse 4. You know, there are some other funny people that say things like, you see me, I'm under grace, I don't read the Old Testament. Bro, I only read the New Testament. The New Testament says you should read the Old Testament. Amen. Look at Romans 15 verse 4. Amen. For whatsoever thing were written aforetime, Genesis to Malachi. Amen. I want you to be there. Romans 15 verse 4. Praise God. Romans 15 verse 4. Now, I'm taking this thing steadily and I'm loving it the way I'm doing it. Although time is running, but I'll still get there. We'll look at a couple of men. He says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, Genesis to Malachi, they were written for your learning. Someone scream, learning. Learning. What was the Old Testament written for? Your learning. Should it be ignored? No. If you ignore the Old Testament, you will not be learning as you ought to learn. For the purpose of its writing was that you would learn. Amen. So, if I read the Old Testament well, I will learn. Verse 4, it says, it's for your learning, didaskalia. For your, it's actually the Greek word doctrine, teaching, instruction. It's saying the writings of the prophets and the things in the Old Testament, they are instructive. They are for your learning. They are a teaching. Right, he says that through the patience and comfort of scriptures we might have hope. So when we look to the Old Testament, right, we are going to learn things. So for example, we would see that it says one of the men we should not be like is Cain. So God wants us to learn something about Cain, that we will not be like Cain. All right, let's first see what the Bible says about Cain in 1 John 3. So when I read Genesis and I read about Cain, I lift up my hand and say, that is the kind of man I should not be. I will never be Cain. I won't act like Cain. Who then is Cain? 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So what is Genesis talking about? Love. The love of God, loving one another. Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. All the books of the Bible have one message. The love of God and the Lordship shared one toward another. That's the summary of the Old Testament from the point of view of John. Amen. So, it says in verse 12, not as Cain. So, what is that kind of man we should not be like? It says, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one. Please note it in your Bible. You will not see it in Genesis. Written that is the wicked one. You just see wicked act. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, who slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works, please notice, his own works were evil. Please, I will come back to this important statement. Why did he kill his brother? His works were evil. Later, we'll look at the works that were evil. We are going to see that believing leads to action. His works was what he believed. Amen? We're going to get there in Genesis itself. His works was what he believed. Brother, what you believe is important. What you believe, you will act. Amen. He says, so he did not believe in the love of God. What did he end up with? He ended up with killing another man. He became a murderer. Amen. Look at it. He says, and therefore he slew he him because his works were evil. I mean, verse 12. And his brother's works were righteous. So we're going to look at his brother's works too. Look at verse 13. Marvel not, my brother, if the world hates you. So what is in the world? We can call the world children of Cain. The ones that do not possess the love of God. Look at verse 14. We know. You must know this about yourself. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Let's look at it again. We know. Who is the believer? The man that has passed from death to life. The man that has passed from hate to love. Do you know, as a believer, you have capacity to love? The engine on the inside of you can be labeled as love. There is nobody you cannot love. You can only deceive yourself and say, no, they are not lovable. No, it is because you do not want to love them. It's not because you don't have the capacity to love them. Amen. Because the engine room of your being is love. So all you need to do is agree with the fact that you can love anybody. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, look at verse 15. For he that hated his brother is a murderer. Are you seeing it here? Hatred already, aka murder. It's first hatred before murder. Right? Amen. It says, and you know that he that murdered does not have eternal life. So the man that has eternal life has love. So he's not a murderer. So you have to declare that, you see, I am not a murderer. Meaning, I'm not a man that hates. So the Bible is equating hatred and murder. Are you hearing? Hatred and murder. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the believer doesn't say things like, I hate that guy. But who is Cain? Don't let's get carried away. Cain is that man without the love of God. Cain is that man that is not his brother's keeper. Look at Genesis chapter 4. Let's go to who Cain is. Genesis chapter 4. Because Cain is a man that God is telling us about that we should be careful of. Right? Look at Genesis 4. Look at verse 2. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep. Now, please, I need to say this for those who don't listen to me regularly. Now, this book called Book of Genesis is a very, very symbolic book. There are a lot of hidden meanings in there, which we're going to be talking about as we go on. It says, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. Not a problem, their profession. Look at verse 3. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground as an offering to the Lord. See, when you see fruit of the ground as an offering to the Lord, this, we'll explain this later, but this is simply trying to say Cain is that man who wants to be righteous based on his works. This is the kind of man God doesn't want you to be. God does not want you to be a legalist. You know, there are a lot of people like that. They come to God, they relate with God based on what they think they've done. Amen. God, no, we are to come to God in fellowship with God based on what Christ has done. So the first major difference between the man you should not be, Cain, and the man you should be like, Abel. Remember where we started off from. What we hear in scriptures is for our learning. You getting it? So we are learning that we should be like Abel, not like Cain. Who is Cain? That man that doesn't have the love of God. One. That man that wants to receive salvation based on what he does. And no one can be righteous based on his deeds. Are you following me? Okay, let's continue. Look at verse 4. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. So Abel, and the Lord had respect to Abel and his offering. Please notice it here. Now it says Abel brought animals. All those are typologies to show that Abel believed in the coming Messiah. Animals, right? Bull, kill, blood, coming Messiah. So he was just trying to say Abel believed in the gospel. Abel is that man that wants to be righteous by faith. Abel is that man that embraced the gospel. Cain is that man that is actually legalistic. Cain is that man that believes, before God can do anything for me, I must do something for God. Amen. Praise God. You know, a lot of people think that way. I have a story that interests me in the book of Luke chapter 18. Put your hand in Genesis 4 and go to Luke 18. Right? Look at this parable by Jesus. In verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. You know, a lot of people are like that. They trust in their abilities. They trust not in the Lord Jesus Christ. They trust in what they can bring to the table. Please note, we are not saying the believer does not work. We are not saying the believer. We are saying to be righteous. Our righteousness is not based on what we do. Our righteousness is based on what Christ has done. Now that we know we have that righteousness, we now do. Do you get the point? Amen. People don't actually get it. I'm not doing things so that God can be happy with me. I am already accepted in the beloved. Now that I'm accepted in the beloved as a son, I do things. Amen. Praise God. You know, I do not evangelize so that God will bless me. Honestly. No, I don't. I evangelize because if I don't, people will die and go to hell. I know people preach this. Evangelize so that God will bless you. It's a very, very slavery, shallow way. I don't give so that God will bless me. Amen. I give because I am a son. And in the kingdom, I give because I want to see the kingdom of God prosper. And I put my money where my heart is. Jesus. That's why I give. That's why sometimes it's not convenient. I still do. Why? Because that is where my heart is. Amen. You should never give and say, God, remember, I gave my offering. I gave. Let me tell you something, so that since we are on the topic, my brother. Why people always argue about tithing? And they always tell people, give a tenth. It shows you have structure in your life. 10%, you break down your finance. 10% to the Lord. 5 for these. When you don't have structure, you cannot even evaluate things. Even people outside of the world tell you about financial discipline, budgets, and all that. Have a structure. It's not about if I give 10% to God, God is going to grow up. You are a son. Grow up. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is the same thing. You must understand. It's not about I did this so that God will now come and do this. People like tit for tat. And a lot of people have lost their motivation to serve God because they knew that there is no tit for tat anymore. Say, okay, what's the purpose? What's the purpose of doing this? No. The purpose is that we are lovers. We are sons. We are the body of Christ. God's kingdom is not a kingdom that we are just foreigners in. God's kingdom, our kingdom. Its promotion, our priority. That's all there is to it. Amen. You may not like it, but that's the fact. Praise the Lord. So look at this man here. It will interest you. Look at verse 9. Luke 18, verse 9. And he spoke this parable unto certain, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You see what happens to people like Cain? People like Cain always think they are better than other people based on what they do. That's how legalists... I haven't even met a legalist. Say, you know what, me, I pray 80 hours. Me, I do this, I do that. And now because of that, that's why I'm not in your class. We don't talk like that. Right? So look at it here. He despised others. So he thought he was better than them. Because he thought God likes him more than God likes them because of what he's doing. Look at verse 11. Verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. See the Pharisee in verse 11. He stood to pray. The legalist is a proud man. He would not believe in what Christ has done. He will believe in what he does. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know, the legalist is a proud man. He will believe in what he does, but he still prays in the name of Jesus. One day we'll take a series on the name of Jesus because many people don't know what the name of Jesus is. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, the Pharisee stood and prayed within himself. He said, God, I thank thee. I'm not like one of those other men, those extortioners, those unjust people, those adulterers, even this publican beside me. See, in prayer point, he's still abusing the neighbor. Verse 12, he starts to rule out his works. I fast twice in the week. I give tithe of all that I possess. In the publican standing afar off, say, oh Lord God, have mercy upon me, and all of that, right? I'm just a sinner, right? This guy, proper estimation, he was a publican, he was a sinner. But God tells them there, now as a believer, you don't talk that he's a sinner. You say you are righteous based on what Christ has done. Amen. Praise God. Look at verse 14. This is a parable. It says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified than the Pharisee. So look at it here. Should you fast? As a believer, you should be a man that prays and fasts. Should you give? Because those things are what we call work. You should be a man that gives. That's why I was emphasizing giving, because he said it here. But do we now say, oh Lord, because I have given, do this? No. The reason you should ever believe that God will do something is because of Jesus. We don't fast for God's sake. Hope you know. Fasting is for us because of the state of our hearts and our inability sometimes to focus. So we fast to pay attention, to be more sensitive, to put the flesh down, to put focus on Jesus. That's why we fast. We don't fast for God. It's the same thing. There is no money, right, that we give to God that has transcended this earth and gone to heaven. No. It's for the kingdom of God. Because if we don't teach things properly, people will misbehave. Amen. Some people say, why is the word of God not spreading? Are you praying, fasting, giving, serving, part of a local church? Are you a faithful man? It's the same thing I've been saying since. Amen. Are you a laborer? Praise God. That's how it happened. So this man, we go back. Cain, that is that type of man, legalist. He was that man that says, you know what? I've done this and done this and done this for God. Amen. Yeah, don't be like that. Go back to Genesis. Go back to Genesis chapter 4. It says, and verse 4, and the Lord had respect to the offering of Abel. Verse 5, but unto Cain and his offering, the Lord did not have respect. Why did the Lord not have respect to Cain's offering? Please note, this is not talking about really the offering, physical offering. It's talking about the fact that Cain did not accept salvation by faith in a coming Messiah. Amen? Cain, and I'll show you he says it clearly still in the Bible. Say, Pastor, where you see that there? I'll show you. Because I know how you think, right? Well, amen. I will show you. It says, Cain rejected the salvation that God brings and wanted to actually impress God by doing things to save himself. So by doing things to save himself, God rejected him. Why did God reject him? No man can be justified in the sight of God except by faith in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. For them here, faith in the coming Messiah. Abel. So Abel believed in the coming Messiah. They told him about the coming Messiah. He believed. God accepted him. Simple. Cain, they told him about the coming Messiah. He did not believe. Why did we talk about Cain? He rejected the love of God, did not have the love of God. He embraced evil works. Remember what we heard in 1 John 3, verse 12 and 13. He said he was wicked. He had evil works. Because of his evil works, he killed somebody. So what did he start off from? He rejected first the love of God. Cain rejected the gospel. He rejected the love of God. In rejecting the love of God, which is what is called evil works, he ends up physically harming somebody. Let's follow the story. But Cain, verse 5, but unto Cain and unto his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was angry and his countenance fell. So Cain entered depression. Have you met believers like that before? So Cain loved God. Take it or not. You know, have you met people, maybe children, and that's why you should raise your children with acceptance, love, be a little careful. Some of us were raised with people shouting on us, right? Some of us were raised in harsh environments. So we have a preconditioned mind to reproduce what we actually enjoyed growing up, right? And some of us actually also grew up in places where people were very harsh to us, and so we are very lenient with our children that we almost spoil them. There must be a proper balance, right, in the raising of our children with love, with grace, with mercy, right, with respect. Amen. Praise. It's very important. It's very, very important. So this guy was that kind of guy. Have you met children who have spent all their lives wanting to impress their dad, only for their dad to say they are not impressed? Guess what happens to them? They become suicidal, they become drunk. This is the same thing like Cain. Cain did everything he thought he could do to impress God, only for God to say, no, I don't want that. I want you to receive what I'm giving to you. Cain became depressed. See, you must love somebody to be depressed from their rejection. Right? Imagine if somebody rejects you and you're having a party, you didn't like the person. Does that make sense? So we know from this statement that Cain loved the Lord. Cain wanted to be that man that God will say, that's my boy. See all my boy is doing. But all God wanted from Cain was that Cain will receive the gospel. But see Cain here. Look at Cain. He says, and Cain was wroth. So that, you know, believers like that who just want to do things and they want to do things to impress the Lord. And that's why they get burnt out. They get angry. Have you heard people say, what else am I supposed to do? They said we should pray. We prayed. They said we should fast, we fasted. They said we should give, we gave all our salary. We gave the first fruit, second fruit, third fruit, fourth fruit. And we have no fruit of the womb. I'm talking about realities of pains of people. And they get angry. Because they thought that that was what God was looking for before God can do things for them. But that's not so. That is why we must preach Christianity right. So we don't raise believers who have an entitlement that is attached to what they do. Amen. Because they fall into this cubicle of Cain. Are you getting my point? Amen. What else are we going to do? We have done all things. What else? Because they have been told, if you do this thing, God will do this thing. Right? Amen. So, look at verse 6. His countenance fell. And God came to Cain. So, God had fellowship and relationship with Cain. Verse 7. If thou do well. What does it mean to do well in this place? If you accept what I'm saying. Right? Accept what I'm saying. Accept my instructions. Accept my way. You will be fine. But if you do not accept my way, you will get into trouble. Look at verse 8. God told him, if you stay in unbelief long enough, you will get into trouble. If you stay in this evil work long enough, you get into trouble. If you stay in legalism long enough, you will get into trouble. I want to do something so that God will, you will get into trouble. Jude says, don't be like Cain. Okay? That's legalism right there. Like, and verse 8, Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, they went to the field, and Cain killed Abel. Look at verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? I am saying to you the thing Jude is telling us, that don't be that man who is not his brother's keeper. Don't, why will Cain talk like that? He had not received the gospel, the love of God. So he cannot share the love of God. Cain is that minister, right, who teaches people that legalism is the way. Cain is that brother who teaches people that legalism is the way. Cain is that brother, that minister, who actually doesn't receive the love of God. And so he cannot act it out. When I read the book, what should I say? I am not Cain. I am not like Cain. I am not Cain. I am that man that has received the love of God. And I am my brother's keeper. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I am my brother's keeper. I live my life for my brother. Look at 1 John. Hebrews 11. Who should you be like? You should be like Abel. Abel is that man that believes the gospel. Abel is that man that preaches the gospel. Abel is that man that walks in love. Amen. Look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Look at verse 4. By faith. Are you seeing it? By faith. Meaning Abel believed. That's why I said by faith. He believed in who? He believed in the coming Messiah. Hebrews 11 verse 1 is there. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Who was they? Were they hoping for? Jesus. The Messiah. The evidence of things not seen. So they didn't see a Jesus. They didn't see a Messiah. They were told about a Messiah and they believed. It's called faith. So it says by faith. So we know that Abel had the gospel. Who shared the gospel with Abel? Adam. It's because the gospel moves from one person to the other. Amen. Who shared the gospel with Cain? Adam. What did Cain do? Cain did not believe. Amen. And Eve. Adam and Eve. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Look at the sacrifice. Than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous. How do men become righteous? They believe the gospel. So Cain, Abel believed the gospel. Better than Cain. Cain did not believe the gospel. God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So this the life of Abel speaks to us today, even though he is dead. Why? He is a man that believes. Meaning he is a man that received God's love. Meaning he is a man that preached God's love. Meaning he is a man that actually looked upon his neighbor. Meaning he is a man that is his brother's keeper. Like I started off, if you have been listening to me, examine yourself. Are you your brother's keeper? Are you that man of love? Or are you legalistic? That man that thinks God doesn't do anything until you do something for him. Because God, you need God to bribe. Even with prayer. Do you know that we pray? The reason why things seem to take long in prayer is not because God is out of hearing. It's because of the hearts of men. It's because we are on the earth. Because we need to properly understand it. Why do we pray for, like, there should be a revival? And it looks like maybe God is saying, no, not today. We'll do it in 2034. No, it's not God. It is the hearts of men. And God cannot control the hearts of men. So we have to yield in prayer. That the men that we are praying for might yield. That's why we pray. That's why you realize that anything that is direct from you to God is always instant, is always easy, is always normal. Right? Amen. Just salvation. You believe, you receive. Simple. There's no Holy Ghost. You believe, you receive, you speak. You and God. See, but when it comes to other men, this world, that's why you look like, hey. Why? The hearts of men is the reason. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not that we're really doing anything for God, though we are. Because God loves men and God wants men to be saved. Praise God. So you must write it in your book. One man I will not be like Cain. I will be that man of love wherever I find myself. The other man we should not be like, because our time is fast spent. Look at the book of Jude. It's there. Jude chapter 1 verse 11. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and greedily after the error of Balaam. Hey, who is Balaam? God. Balaam is someone you should study. And you must never be like. Balaam is that minister that puts money before God. Balaam is that brother that puts money before God. Balaam is that man who, when God will speak, he will say he has heard. But he will go and ask God again. So that God will change his mind. You know, this story is quite crucial. We look at this story. I'm going to quickly look at 2 Peter 2:15 to tell you the summary of the story, and we delve into the story because there are some learning points there. About, we are going to learn some, I must tell you about some things about hearing from God. Do you know that you can pray to God, God will tell you, don't do this. If you go back to God and you are disturbing God, God will say, do it. But you have just gone out of God's will. It happened to Balaam. I will show you. Second Peter. You know, a lot of people don't know God. God will just say, I want you to go to America. You come and say, no, Lord, I don't want to go to America. I don't want to go to America. I want to go to Spain. The next time you go and pray, God will say, go to Spain. Oh, God. And you say, I heard from God. You didn't hear from God. You heard from your mind that wants God to say, you should go to Spain. We'll see it with Balaam. Let's go to 2 Peter first. Time is failing me, but I have to do this. 2 Peter 2. Because in there, we see the story of Balaam. 2. I will read verse 14 to 15. It says, having eyes full of adultery. This adultery here is not physical fornication. This adultery here is when you are a person who, through your words, you get those who are joined to the Lord to go and have other partners with unbelief. Alright? That's, it says, their eyes are full of adultery and they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. So what they deal with is the hearts of men. Right? And as they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. You see there? So he's talking about covetousness. These ones love money. So when you hear about Balaam in the Old Testament, you say, that's a minister I will not be like. That's a brother I will not be like. Brothers that you can tempt with money. Brothers that they would deny the kingdom for money. Brothers that can't stand when money is standing. I'm not going to be like that brother. Hey, my man has not got my heart. Amen. Praise God. Look at verse 15. Which have forsaken the right way. They have gone astray. Anytime money is ahead, the Bible says you have gone astray. When they put God and they put money and you pick money, my brother, you have gone astray. I'm telling you that let your consecration be that I serve the Lord. I put God first and money. Let me say this. It might sound insensitive, but I'll say it to help you so that in the way that you think. I'm in Europe. And when I got into Europe, right, one of the things that I said was that I saw that people, the day we go for service, which is Sunday, people will always work. And the places we heard about that they were working, they'll give double shift and double money. And I started to think about it. And people say they are not demonic operations in this country. I started thinking about it. The idea is you think you are making money. You are not going to go to serve the Lord. You end up not hearing God's word and edifying the saints because of money. And I said, wow. And if you're hearing me and you're just coming to nation, European, know this. Start early to say, you know what? I will put you first. No matter what it is, God will be first. Pastor Dyer, you don't know how it goes. For you, it's a consecration. And that's what I always tell people. People always say, you are not everybody. Daniel in his nation was not everybody. Amen? You hear what I'm saying? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they are not everybody. It will look like a norm in the city that you are in. You come with your consecration and your standards. I am a believer. On Sunday, this is what we do. We serve God. Serve God. On Wednesday, we gather. I'm a believer. You must have those high standards. Amen. And they will not be eroded for money. Even David said, bring silver, bring gold. I pick God first. Your consecration will be tested. Covetousness will be tested. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. He says, which are forsaking the way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor. You might see this as a rebuke, as a teaching tonight. See it like that way. Amen. Who love the wages of unrighteousness? Let's look at Numbers 22. Numbers 22. Who loved what? The wages of unrighteousness. What happened to this man called Balaam? Balaam was a prophet. But if Balaam should... Balaam was that man that can see. He can see. But now, there were some people that were enemies of Israel. The name of their king is Balak. Guess what Balak did? Balak went to meet the prophet of God, Balaam, and told Balaam, I will pay you money. I want you to curse the children of Israel from me. Let's go to the story. Numbers chapter 22. Right? Okay, verse 5. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor. Right? He said in verse 6, come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me these people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom you bless is blessed, and him who you curse is cursed. Verse 7, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with rewards. Put that note there, rewards of divination in their hands. And they came to Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balaam. And he said unto him, lodge this night. Everybody knew that Moab was an enemy of Israel. What did the prophet do? The prophet had seen reward. The prophet said, lodge, let me pray. You know, those kind of brothers and sisters that know the will of God, that will see, stay, let me pray about it. What is it? The error of Balaam. When the word of God tells you something, it ends there. When you are saying, let me pray, for example, the word of God says, let me give you an example, thou shalt not steal. You now say, let me pray. No, you don't do that. You already know what the word of God says. The word of God says, do not be unequally yoked with unbeliever. Someone is an unbeliever. You say, he asks you out, you say, let me pray. No. Is the error of Balaam, right? Somebody says, let's go and steal. Let's defraud somebody. Let's do a business that is ungodly. You say, let me pray. No, you don't do that. The error of Balaam. Look at it now. Okay, let's continue. He said unto them in verse 8, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again. And as the Lord shall speak unto me, and the prince of Moab slept in Balaam's house. Verse 9, and God came to Balaam and said, what men are these with you? God came and said, what are these people doing in your house? How come you allow them sleep over? Money. Are you hearing? Money. It will change your hospitality. It will change core values. So you say, no, I'm not like Balaam. I'm not going to be bought over. God is number one. And you start from small things. Let me tell you something. As you go in your journey, your consecration must be straight. Someone can use $5 million. You will sell your birthright as a believer. You say, church me. I'm not a Christian. Christian, no. Why? Because with little things like 25 pounds, you have not been able to do it. Say, I'm a believer. Jesus is first. Money is not first. It doesn't matter the money. Money is not first. Even you, I know you might start off laughing at yourself. But stay talking that way. Stay believing that way. You are not a man after Balaam. You're a man after Christ. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at it here. Look at verse 9. What are these men doing with you? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, said unto me, saying, behold, there is this people and all of that. Look at verse 12. God said unto them, thou shalt not go. I need to share this with you about the God you serve. Because a lot of people don't know the God they serve. It's very important, especially in trying to find out God's leading. It's not tricky. It's just that God is not, it doesn't force. So what did God say? And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. What should the man have said? Number one, the man should not have brought them into the home. He brought them into the home. God came to him. God said, don't go with them. The people are blessed. You know, a lot of people think God will change the Bible for their sake. God has already spoken. Amen. I am vulnerable to God's word. You know that I'm the kind of guy that if I teach something today and I see in the Bible that is not correct, I'll come back tomorrow and say what I said yesterday is wrong. You must be see, it is vulnerability to the word. God said, don't go with them. That's where it should end. You wake up in the morning after devotion, send all of them away. What did Balaam do? Amen. All right, let's look at it. Verse 13, and Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes, get you into the land, for the Lord refuses to give me to go with you. And the prince of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refused to come. Listen, it looks like Balaam made the right decision. Look at what darkness did. Because you need to understand how it works. Covetousness. Look at verse 15. And Balak sent again princes and more honorable men and more gifts. And they came to Balaam and said unto Balaam, the son of Balak has said that, verse 17, I will promote thee with very great honor and I will do whatsoever thou said. Come and pray that and cause these people. Look at verse 18. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his whole house and silver, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord. It looks like he's saying anything. Now, therefore, I pray you, tarry here with me this night. Are you seeing it again? This man had heard from God. This man had seen a vision from God. This man already knew by normal, if you are an Israeli, Moabites are not your guys. They hate you. You know that. But this guy kept accommodating them. He said, see what he said? I will pray again. Why are you praying again? You are praying again when you already had the instruction. You are in error. Listen carefully. Verse 20. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. Say, my brother, if you get this about God, you will know a lot. God, when God has given you his word, and he knows that he has given you his word, he has given you all that he has. That's why Psalm 107 verse 20 says, he sent his word. Bro, if God has given you his word, you go back and pray. With all due respect, you will hear go. It happened to Balaam. And if you are honest, you'll be able to, it will happen to you. When you know God's will, you will hear go with them. Follow them. When God has said, what are these people doing in your house in the beginning? God had told you, don't go anywhere near these guys. These people, they want you to curse. They can never be cursed. They are Israelis. They are blessed. What did Balaam do? Balaam continued. Do you know that Balaam continued this way 3 times? Until, now Balaam said he had go, right? Look at it. I want to show you something. Balaam said, because if you don't know this about God, even in our days today, you pray, because people are praying about making decisions, pray about relocating, praying about a spouse. You know, God knows you know enough. God knows you know enough by the Bible not to do something. God will show you, will tell you. You will still say, let me try. You know what you hear? Go. Relocate to Gambia. Go. Go to America. Go. Marry body. Go. Marry. Do you get it? Go. Move to cryptocurrency. Go. He had already told you, stay here. Do you get it? Now, see this that I want you to see. In verse 20, I'm sure you read it. It says, rise up and go with them. But yet, the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. Has this not moved from the position of the first I heard from God? I want to show you the principle. Look at verse 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. He shouldn't have gone. Look at verse 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went. Look at it. Well, who was the one that was actually upset and was the angel? And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. The question is, why will this guy be an adversary against Balaam if God told Balaam to go? It is clear that God did not tell Balaam to go. Balaam had heard himself. And the point is this: God had given angels to guide and guard the children of Israel. So the moment Balaam is coming towards the angel and towards Israel to come and try to curse them or do anything, what is happening? The angel that has been assigned to them, you see that in Exodus 23:25. The angels were, if I get my Bibles right, the angels were assigned to them. The angel shows up and say, who are you going to go and curse? You must be joking. You are not going this way, right? Because they have been told. You know, in this dispensation, they were all dealing with angels, right? Even so, when you hear the Lord, most of the time it's angels, right? He says, right, in that sense, and the ass, the animal that is mode of transportation, saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and drawn sword. The angel, right, they told them when he was releasing the angel, these angels have no mercy. They were going to kill the prophet. Why? The prophet was standing against Israel, which was God's will and God's plan to deliver the Messiah. They will kill the prophet. What the ass was the one that saved the prophet 3 times. He went different ways. The angel was doing it until he hit the in front. What was happening? The angel would be standing in front. If the us or the ass had gone towards the angel, he would have killed Balaam. But the ass was saving this guy. You see what I'm showing you here? Until the ass, God opened the ass's mouth up so the ass cannot speak and say, what's wrong with you? My point is, we are not men like Balaam. Who is that man like Balaam? That man that loses his composure, that does the things he ought not to do, that would he ministers because of money, that he is a believer but he puts money first. We are not like Balaam. See what happens. Because this man is acting in ways he should not act by putting money first, he is going in the wrong direction, he is negating the word of God, he is not fulfilling God's plan and God's purpose, even though he is God's selected one as a prophet. My brothers and my sisters tonight, we have said there are a lot of people we are going to look at in the Old Testament, but what I've told you tonight, we are not like... So when you read the Old Testament and you see Cain, you see I'm not like Cain, I'm like Abel, that man that walks in love. When you see the Bible and you see Balaam, see, I am not Balaam, that covetous man, that man that puts money first, that man that does not uphold God's leading because of money, that man that does not do God's way because of what he would gain. Covetousness is just not just money, what you think you would gain from an exposure, right? You are a man of God, you're a brother, you're a sister, you are that man that has believed the gospel, who knows how to conduct their way, that man that is faithful, that man that is a lover, that man that is not covetous. That's what we have learned tonight. And that's God's instruction, God's correction, God's reproof, God's instruction in righteousness to you. Till we come your way again. This is my letter to my son, David. God bless you. Amen.